Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Monday, August 6th, the Am I Being Overprotective edition? I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I'm dad to Noah, who's 5, and Ami, who's 2. We live in Detroit.
And I'm Dwayne Richards. Well, I'm so glad to be back on the podcast. I have 2 daughters, Emiko, who is 12, Reiko, who is 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
Hola, I'm Lucy Lopez, and I'm so happy to be back. I host the Mamacita Rica podcast. I'm mama to Amelia, who's 13, and Avery, who is 10, and we live in Miami.
Today on the show, we've got a parent who wonders if they're being too overprotective, or is it that their husband is being too underprotective? But before that, our return guest, Dwayne Richards, is working on a project that I want to learn more about. It's called the Anti-Racism Fight Club for Kids. And finally, we'll end today by recommending some things we've been loving lately. See you back here in a second.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Okay, Dwayne, you're the founder of the Anti-Racism Fight Club for Kids. It's founded in part on the belief that, as Frederick Douglass once wisely said, it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. What is the Anti-Racism Fight Club for Kids?
My day job is I run a business about anti-racism training for corporations and schools. I've worked with a lot of big companies. But I realized that the secret sauce in this is that kids really need help in terms of learning about racism. And we all know what's going on in Florida right now with the governor and what his plans are as far as teaching middle schoolers that slavery was beneficial to some Black people. And if that's not indoctrination, I have no idea what is, but that's people rewriting history to serve their own interests. So I see a lot of white parents specifically who are like, what can I do to offset this? I want to make sure that my children are being taught the truth. So what I have done is I've created 2 things. One is an online course where I teach the kids the basics about anti-racism in history. But the big thing that I do is I select about 10 kids and I have them go through a boot camp, like as far as like how to be truly anti-racist and know the truth about what it is to be Black in America and how to be a good ally for people of color in America. And I keep that to only 10 kids because it's really intensive. And it's usually middle school age kids where I'll meet with them for a week and I'll talk to them about what the struggles are, answer any questions they have, and give them homework assignments around race and equity and inclusion. And it's been really powerful, but it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for people who are looking the window shop. This is for kids who truly want to do it. But also, lastly, I help parents too. So I coach parents on how to teach their kids about racism, the things that they should say, the things that they shouldn't say, how to deal with their racist family members, their racist people in their schools or in their neighborhoods.
What do you find to be one of the most effective homework assignments you give parents and kids? Why don't you give us two, one for parents and one for kids?
It's actually the same answer, Zach, for both, is I ask them, once we discuss what racism is, I ask them, what is the most racist thing you have ever done in your lifetime? And in doing so, I tell them, don't worry, I'm not going to hold this again. I'm not going to email your employer or your school or anything like that. But I want them to know, have them dig down into that discomfort and recall that. And then I ask them, what have you learned from that moment? And it's a really powerful exercise because it makes people feel that uncomfortable feeling that Black people and people of color feel on a daily basis. And then to sit with that and then be like, oh, I never want to feel that feeling again. This is what I've learned and this is what I can do better next time. And it's a really powerful exercise. And it's one that not a lot of people can do. A lot of people are like, oh, well, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. And I remind them like, hey, if you don't feel comfortable, imagine what it feels like being a Black man in America on like a random Tuesday. It's not fun. So you got to lean into that discomfort. And that's something that I really feel good about doing is helping people live and sit with that discomfort as they navigate through their anti-racism journey.
Right on.
I have a question. I just recently shared with my 13-year-old something that happened to me when I was their age. And we were driving out of Florida to New Jersey. It was a family trip. Right after we passed Orlando, so now we're like in northern Florida, which is, let's just say it's northern Florida.
South Alabama?
Yes, sir. And when we're entering, my father's a veteran. My father was a federal officer for like almost 30 years. Pulled over and said to both me and my sister, do not speak Spanish. Don't talk to anybody. We're going to get off. We're going to use the restrooms, you know, like the rest stop. And he looked at my mom and he goes, you don't say a word. And I remember just kind of like not really understanding what was going on. And I was bold enough to ask my dad, hey, why are you telling us not to say that, daddy? And he goes, because the people here do not like what color I am. They don't like the way your mom sounds. And they definitely don't want to hear two little girls that look like you or sound like you. They don't want us here. So we're going to just go in, do what we got to do and leave. And I remember it just leaving such an impression in who I was as, you know, a little kid and being very, very scared. As we got older, my father shared with me stories of him being called the N-word, the S-word, growing up in New York. I also shared that with my kids. There happened to be a family member in the room when I shared this story. And they said, don't you think that's like a little too much to be sharing with your kids? And I said, absolutely effing not. Mm-hmm. They need to understand this part of our life. And they need to understand that outside of this, because I feel like Miami's a bubble, outside of this Miami bubble, life is very freaking different. Did I answer her correctly? Or should I have taken that moment to like teach her something too?
I think when people say this, and this is a common thing, and I think this is good for the podcast listeners to hear because I know there's a lot of allies out there. So often I hear like, oh gosh, it's so hard for kids. I don't want to subject myself, my kids to this. And it's like, look, man, I was called the N-word at 9 the first time. Like, do you think I was ready for that? Do you think my mom was ready for that when I told her what happened? And none of us are ready for that. So it's, we have to get to the point where it's like, look, man, this is hard. It's uncomfortable. It's not going to feel good to hear these things, but it will help. And also one quick point to make as well is like, the reason why this stuff is happening in Florida, just so y'all know, like if you just want to just move all of the BS away from it, it comes down to this. If kids grow up, just similar to the quote that Zach said from Frederick Douglass in the beginning, it's like if kids grow up believing that anti-racism is the way to go and that diversity and inclusion should be accepted and believed in, guess what happens? White supremacy and racism die. That's what happens. But if you benefit from racism and white supremacy, you're going to be like, oh, no, we're not going to talk about this. And they'll make all these banned books, like my children's books have been banned in a bunch of libraries across America, which is crazy.
Wow.
And yeah, so it just comes down to that. It's just like, if you are against white supremacy, then you will be in favor of kids believing in diversity, equity, and inclusion. And all we're saying to all the listeners, Zach and Lucy, is that we don't want revenge. We don't want more than anyone else. We just want equity and equality. That's all we want. We don't want revenge. We just want to be treated equally.
I think it's crazy that you use the word revenge. Like, that's insane that somebody would think that an entire population wants revenge. Like, I don't know. I'm like, I come from a very different background. You know, we all have different backgrounds. My dad is Afro-Latino. And I just remember that conversation on that ride to New Jersey, like it was yesterday. And it's like, my dad is tough and he's the Bronx and he's New York and he's all that and duh, duh. And I just remember just seeing this hey, don't talk here. Don't say anything. Look down. And then later in life, him having the courage to share with me his personal experiences with the Ku Klux Klan, like showing up to a diner that he was eating at. And he was wearing a uniform.
A military uniform.
A military uniform.
Yeah.
And they showed up. They showed up in trucks. And my dad just being like, blown away by that.
Yeah.
And him sharing that hurt with me changed me forever, who I am and who I love. And to kind of like share that story with my kids in front of other adults and those adults not understanding why I was sharing that, I'm like, what are you guys, crazy? These kids need to know the truth. This is real life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Sorry, I get really passionate and I get a little emotional.
No need to apologize for that.
It's like, this is real life. Real life is happening around us, y'all. Wake up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is.
Dween, if folks want to learn more about joining the Anti-Racism Fight Club or just getting some more resources, what's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, I would just tell them to just go to DweenRichards.com. D as in dog, O as in ocean, Y as in young, I as in island, N as in nacho, Richards.com. And just go there and just go through and read what it offers. And then if you feel like that's something that you're interested in, or if you want me to bring it to your school, your workplace, or what have you, shoot me an email and we'll make it happen.
Great. Cool. Thanks for that. And we're going to be right back with our listener question.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, and we're going to hear our question. Hi, all. My husband and I are having some fundamental disagreements, and I'm feeling at pretty dire straits. I'm absolutely willing to accept I'm too overprotective or just flat out wrong, but I'm hoping to get unbiased perspectives on safety concerns we can't sort out. Our daughter will be 2 next month. Often when my husband puts her in her car seat, the straps aren't tightened completely. He says he cannot tighten them any further, but the times I look, I can. His driving also leaves me anxious, but for this question, I'll focus on the straps. Additionally, he believes our daughter can go up and down stairs independently. She's pretty great at it, but I'm very conscious to follow closely as we have an 1800s New England home and very steep steps. She needs to touch the wall and or hold hands to be successful. I've now walked in on a variety of instances where I see my daughter navigating stairs without my husband present. He's quick to say he's watching her from wherever, but there is no supervision. These are just the two most major issues I'm concerned about for her safety. I'm hoping to present an unbiased account to gain feedback. Can anyone let me know how to proceed? Signed, am I being overprotective? Lucy, what do you say?
Look, sounds like you got to remind your partner that children hospital visits are incredibly expensive. But at the same time, like, I'm kind of the lax parent, and a lot of it has to do with my own upbringing. My mom wasn't from this country, and a lot of things that just, like, happened. It just happened, and I think that kind of trickled down into my own parenting behavior, if you will.
What do you mean a lot of things just happened?
I remember once playing hide and go seek in my house and tripping over a glass mug,
like,
that was on the floor.
When you're not, it, like, in unexpected
exactly,
places.
But yeah. Instead of, like, if that would have happened to one of my kids, I would have picked up my kid, we'd gone to the ER or the urgent care and take that. My mom literally just went up to my knee, pulled the glass shard out of my knee and was like, that'll heal, put a Band-Aid on it, go. Yeah. And that's the way that I was raised. Mm-hmm. And when our firstborn, I was like kind of like buckling her into her seat, kind of loosely, like not really all the way. Mm-hmm. And my husband was like, get in the car, we're gonna go do something. And he took me to the local firehouse. I'm not making that, this is a true story. Took us to the local firehouse, had them install the seat for us.
Yeah, sure.
Taught me, my mom, my dad how to buckle in the kid. Then gave us a few stories on how, you know, not strapping in your kid the right way can change everybody's life.
Right.
And I think with your partner, you got to be real honest, open with your partner, and have these awkward conversations, because this is now when your child is basically a blob. I'm not calling your kid a blob. I'm just saying, like, you know, sometimes kids at that age are just like little blobs with legs.
Yeah, that's cute.
You all want to be on the same page before your blob can walk upright and order off the kid menu. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dwayne?
Okay, I have a little different perspective. I just feel like the world needs to be explored. And I just feel like sometimes if we have the lawnmower parent around just making sure every single obstacle is removed, the kid's going to grow up and be like, wait, where's mommy and daddy to remove this obstacle for me? Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that you should let your kid go down stairs and roller skates or do stuff like that, or, you know, make omelets for themselves at 5 years old. I'm just saying that you have to realize that that dad, this person's partner, wants what's best for his child too. He does not want to see this child get injured or get hurt.
Right.
It's just parents may have a different way of going about things, but that difference doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it different. So I would say for her to just kind of take a deep breath and realize that this man is not incompetent, or else she wouldn't have married him. And well, I mean, I do know divorce happens and stuff, but I'm just saying that, like, for the most part, you know, she loved him for a reason, right? And decided to have kids with him for a reason. let, as the kids say nowadays, like, let him cook. Like, let him cook. Let him do his thing. Let him do his thing and just
favorite thing is walking into a conversation with your partner who's like, listen, I know you're not incompetent, but
yeah, I know you're not an idiot, but so, I'm just saying, like, just give the dude, cut him some slack and realize that he also wants what's best for your child. It may not be the way that you do it, mom, but as long as it's not like egregious, like she's like sitting on a lap like Britney Spears circa 2007 with the baby, like, let him do his thing and try to just let him. And I get it. I know it can be anxious and a lot of anxiety around the fact that the way he drives and the buckling of seats and all that, but just trust that he wants what's best for that child.
Yeah, I mean, I think you both need to move a little bit, you and your husband. I think he shouldn't be in the other room when you're, you know, almost 2-year-old is going up the stairs, maybe just like watching from a bit of a distance, but you but you don't need to be like, you know, spotting them as if they're climbing a mountain. So I think if you could relax a little bit and if he could tighten up a little bit, that might help. Just, I think it would also help your relationship to know that you're both kind of invested in meeting each other in the middle and changing a little bit for one another. And then practically, like, there are like step pads, like stair pads, which you can get online. You know, it's like the rectangular, like, little piece of rug or gauze or whatever. I don't know if that would make you feel any better than having the kid directly on the steps. This isn't about the steps, though, right? Like, that's just an example. Also, like, if his driving is making you anxious, like, I agree with Dween that, like, your husband probably does have, you know, your kid's best interests at heart. However, like, if his driving is making you anxious, like, that should be something that you should be able to have a conversation with him about. I need to see, like, how fast he's going in a 45 lane to make an objective, unbiased account like you're asking for. Like, is he going 70 in a 45? Then that would leave me anxious too. Or is he going like 49 in a 45? I'd say if he's going anywhere above 57, you have the right to feel anxious. But yeah, I mean, there's that quote. What's that quote? It's like, being a parent is like wearing your heart on the outside of your body, right? So, like, it totally makes sense. And I empathize with you, like, you know, just the kind of having your hands up all the time because you don't want your kid to get injured. Like Lucy said, like, your kid's going to get injured. Yes, we can do various things to mitigate that. We can, like, not have, like, a sharp glass coffee table or whatever. But yeah, it's just really hard. And I feel like just parenting in and of itself is just like this ongoing process of just like learning how to let go little by little by little. My unbiased account is that you are being overprotective, but just a little bit, but I'm the same way. So I'm not judging you. So am I being overprotective? Thank you so much for writing to us. Really appreciate it. If you have any questions about car safety, we actually had an interview this summer with the baby gear guy. It was full of really good safety tips. We're going to link to that in our show notes. It might put you at ease, overprotective parent. And if you out there listening have some advice to share, you can always share it at momanddad@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We love getting these voicemails from you because we get to hear your voice. 646-357-9318. Lastly, you can submit your question on our Slate Parenting Facebook page, and there you'll get the added bonus of getting really thoughtful feedback from our legion of incredible parents and guardians. To sign up for Slate Parenting, just go to Facebook and search Slate Parenting and fill out our brief form to verify that you are a real person. Okay, finally, let's move on to the part of the show where we share something we are loving right now. Lucy, I know you're very excited to share your recommendation. I am so excited to hear it. Bring it.
All right. So first of all, I just want to say that I love budget-friendly activities.
Yes.
But they got to be cool. They got to be cool.
Totally.
Last time I shared with you guys, you know, select family night movies from your childhood, share them with your kids. Very fun, and it's something that they'll totally look forward to. Well, here's another budget-friendly activity, but make it cool idea.
Okay.
We pick 5 songs that are currently their favorite songs, right? And I find all the songs that are sampled and their favorite songs, and we make a playlist. We listen to them in order and find the spots that are sampled And when I tell you, it is a blast to do because now they don't listen to music the way they used to. Now they're like, is that sampled? Is that song sampled? And the song that started it out for us was Players by Coi Leray. And it blew my girls' minds. Like they were like floored. Her song, Players, samples the 1982 hip hop classic, The Message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, which was also added to several songs that I grew up listening to, like Check Yourself by Ice Cube, and of course 1997 classic Can't Nobody Hold Me Down by Puff Daddy, and the 2011 song Teen Pregnancy by Blank Banshee, which we don't have on our playlist, but you get the point. The point is, get like five songs your kids love. Do some light research on Google. Find the songs that your kids, you know, favorite TikTok songs are sampling.
That's cool.
It is a blast, a blast, a blast.
It's a great way to teach your kids to be analytical. Really fun exercise.
Viste.
Love it. What do you got, Dwayne?
So mine is really going to be short and very simple. And I am recommending naps.
Yes.
Can I just do that? Because
yes,
I don't know what is going on. Why do y'all think that naps are for babies? Like,
or lazy people.
Yeah, or lazy people. You can nap in the middle of the day. It doesn't have to be like a 3-hour nap, but if you nap for like 45 minutes and you wake up, you take a nap at like 1 o'clock, wake up at 1:45, I'm telling you, you are going to be a beast for the rest of the day in a good way. Like, you're going to be active. Your mind's going to feel refreshed. You're going to have more energy. You're going to have more clarity. Why don't more people nap? Like, in foreign countries, they have, like, nap rooms and they have all these things. Like,
you got siestas in Spain.
Yeah. But we look at America where you got to work and all this stuff from 8 to 6. And
right.
Man, mixing a nap, I'm telling you, you'll feel so much better. So I highly recommend naps.
What's your nap strategy?
Oh, so it depends if we're talking weekdays or weekends. So
let's talk about weekdays. Yeah.
Let's do, yeah, for weekdays, similar. Like, if it's like one, like I usually, because I work for myself, so I set my own schedule. So I try to, right around lunchtime after lunch, where it's that food coma starting to hit.
Yep.
It's like maybe like 1 to 1:45, take a quick nap, get up, and then attack the afternoon. It just works. Like, if I don't take my nap, I feel grumpy and just unproductive. It's just, we need to normalize naps, people.
100%. My friend, 100%. I agree with you 100% on the nap thing. I've been taking naps since day one. And I can tell you this right now, a good 9.5 minute nap will do wonders for your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I do a 9.5 minute nap every day at 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday. And on the weekends, I take an hour nap from 2 to 3. And I don't care what we're doing, my ass is taking a nap.
Are you in bed or on the couch?
Perfection. Couch, on a chair.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No. I have taken a nap in my car, AC on.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly. I have tricks on how to fall asleep really fast. I've been doing them for like 20 years now, and it is divine perfection. So yes, on that nap, along with my playlist, let's go.
Yeah, I'm totally co-signing this. I do a 20 minute, so I'm right between the 9.5 and 45 minute, but I do a 20 minute nap at least 3 times a week. I never get under the covers for a nap. I don't know about you two. Are you over the covers?
Same. Over the covers for now.
Over the covers.
Or else it's nighttime.
It's over, right.
Over the covers. Yeah. Under the covers for nighttime only.
My favorite nap is like February in Michigan. It's snowing out. I like pull my car up to the Detroit River, get the heat going, get some like drone music going. And there's nothing better than like a 20-minute nap. It's 10 degrees outside, but like 80 degrees in my car.
My girlfriends made fun of me. They were like, are you entering your señora stage? And I'm like, yes,
absolutely.
Yes, I am in fashion, in high fashion. I am entering this señora stage. So.
My recommendation, this is a bleak way to end the show, but I think it's kind of a beautiful poem. It's called This Be the Verse by the great Philip Larkin. It's from his collected poems. It's about not... Well, you'll see what it's about. I'll read the whole thing. It's three stanzas, super short. But I came across it this weekend. It just struck me. And I apologize in advance for this. This Be the Verse by Philip Larkin. They fuck you up, your mom and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had. And some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn. By fools in old-style hats and coats, who half the time were soppy stern, and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man, it deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can, and don't have any kids yourself. Now I'm feeling like, why would you share that, Zach? But
I'm gonna go take a nap now.
Yeah, I need the Dween 45-minute nap after that. So sorry, but I don't know.
It's okay. It's a safe space.
I kind of felt that, though. I kind of felt it. I actually kind of dug that.
Man hands on misery to man. That line just gets me. It's like, oof. So true. That's it for our show. Please subscribe to our show. Leave a rating and review and tell your friends. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by the great Rosemary Belson and the great Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Lucy Lopez and Dwayne Richards, I'm Zach Rosen. Thank you so much for listening.